You're listening to Gerald Fleury and the Key of David on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
Greetings, everyone. Never has the United Nations or the UN been so fiercely disunited as it has been in the last few years. Recently, the Prime Minister of the Jewish state, Benjamin Netanyahu, spoke before the United Nations and talked about the horror of nuclear weapons and how they were being proliferated around the world. And in that speech, though, something really shocking and unusual was he gave what we could say is a hint or a clue to how the nations could be united and how the world could be brought and given world peace, whether it be individuals or families or nations or whatever. But Mr. Netanyahu actually discussed Bible prophecy. He discussed Bible prophecy and even said that Bible prophecy is being fulfilled or realized in our time. Can you imagine that coming from a speaker going before the United Nations? Telling you that he actually believes in Bible prophecy? Well, when you look at all these problems around the world, people are searching for answers. And that's the right place to be searching. He quoted Bible prophecy and said that he actually believed it. Let me give you a quote from that United Nations speech. Quote, "In our time, the biblical prophecies are being realized." Now, what is he saying? Well, they're being fulfilled. In our time, he says. Now, that is rare. Has anybody ever made such a statement like that in the United Nations before? I mean, I'm talking about a political leader, of course. Has that ever happened before? But he goes on in this and says, "In our time, the biblical prophecies are being realized. As the prophet Amos said, they shall rebuild ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine, and they shall till gardens and eat their fruit, and I will plant them upon their soil, never to be uprooted again." Now, that is absolutely true, and it's right out of your Bible. But I must tell you that something rather critical was left out. And I'll show you that a little later. This UN speaker, though, says that he believes in Bible prophecy. But do we believe enough? Do we really believe the way God says we must believe and the way He defines faith? Well, I want to give you more about Amos a little later, but his speech also talked about another subject that I want to touch on. His speech was just almost totally unnoticed by the world, as Bible prophecy usually is ignored by most people. It's always been that way, and it's that way because of human nature. Human nature doesn't like to hear about Bible prophecy and the authority of God. Generally, they don't like that. But that can become the biggest mistake they'll ever make in their life, and often does. One more quote from Mr. Netanyahu, though, where he talks about achieving peace with the Palestinians or the Arabs in the Arab world. And he says to the UN, "I feel deeply honored and privileged to stand here before you today representing the citizens of the State of Israel. We are an ancient people. We date back nearly 4,000 years to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have journeyed through time. We've overcome the greatest adversities." He's talking about the founding fathers of the Bible. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You hear that statement made over and over, but do people really know what that means when you talk about those great men of the Bible? Now, if you think about it for a moment, he's complaining about the Arabs and how they have to get together and have peace. And he's telling the United Nations that actually Abraham was the father of the Jews. In that sense, if you look back in history, in biblical history, you can see that's true. But did you know that the Arabs also have the father Abraham, that Abraham is their father too, in the sense that we're speaking here? Now, it does seem to me like that if Abraham is the father of both of those people and the 12 tribes of Israel, not only the Jews in the Middle East, and we prove that in our book on the United States and Britain and prophecy. But isn't it terrible that two peoples on this earth, two nations, or many, the Arabs and the Jews, who have the same father and are at each other's throats, and there's danger of a nuclear war. Isn't that strange? What's wrong with this world that we can't get people who have the same father or the same genealogy in that sense and can't get along at all but are warring continually? What's wrong with human beings? Well, now, if you think deeply about what Mr. Netanyahu said, and you follow up and you understand it, you'll understand what's wrong with men. And what has always been wrong with men, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Something is terribly wrong with the mind of man, or let's say something is really lacking in the mind of man. But if you want to unite nations or individuals or families or marriages or whatever, you do need faith in God. You need that. I wanted to just mention to you four scriptures. I'm not going to read them, but four of them that say essentially the same thing and almost in the same words about Abraham. Four times in the New Testament, it says the same thing, just repeats it over and over and over for four times. And here's what it says in Romans 4, verses 3 and 9, Galatians 3 and verse 6, and James 2 and verse 23. And it says in those verses that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It was counted as righteousness because he believed God. Did you know that makes a person righteous and makes them able to have peace and get along with each other? Whether it's two people or 10 billion, it's the same principle. Now, that's repeated four times in the New Testament, so faith is awfully important. When we talk about Abraham, well, it's not, what does it matter about his genealogy? Let's talk about his faith, the father of the faithful. Let's talk about that. That will bring peace, and that will bring joy and happiness and love. Abraham certainly brought that to many people. And people still refer back to Abraham and his son Isaac, and Isaac's son, Jacob, and another son, Esau, who is fighting against him today, against Jacob today, and the Jews as well as the Arabs. But that's another subject, one I got into recently. But in Hebrews 11 and verse 17, it says, by faith, Abraham offered up Isaac. Now, that's a That's surely one of the great examples of the Bible, because it's a type of God the Father and Jesus Christ. And God told Abraham to go out and sacrifice Isaac, to put him to death as a sacrifice. And Abraham did. He took off and he was going to sacrifice his son that he'd waited for so many years for, his beloved son. And so he was, just as he was about to finish that sacrifice, God stopped him because he knew that Abraham believed him, and in his mind, his son was already dead. And God stopped him and saved his son. But can you imagine that kind of faith? It's a type of God the Father and Jesus Christ. But can you imagine a man willing to sacrifice his son in his faith toward God? Now, people will scoff at that, but they'd better be careful what they scoff at, because that is the kind of faith that Abraham had, and God says he is the father of the faithful. I mean, he had it supremely right. Do you know of anybody that has that kind of faith today? That is oh so rare. See, Abraham knew how to bring peace and joy and happiness through faith, through looking to God and just trusting Him. God is love. He's never going to mislead you. He is love. He can't mislead you. Or he wouldn't be showing love. And that's what He is. See, the way of peace they know not in this world, but Abraham knew. Amos knew. They knew the way of peace. And here, Mr. Netanyahu was there before all these disunited nations. Let's call it what it is. They're not united. They never have been. But he stood before them and talked about a holocaust, that potential holocaust that would annihilate all human life on this earth. Isn't it time somebody found a solution? I mean, we're talking about the number one problem in the world being that of human survival. And yet people go on watching their sports and their entertainment, acting like we didn't live in that kind of a world. That's reality today. That is reality. Here was a man that showed us how to have peace. But we'll send you a free booklet. All of our literature is free, and we'll send it to you on the subject, What is Faith? And it will explain to you about Abraham's faith, the father of the faithful. That booklet will explain that to you. And you need it so that you can learn to bring peace into your marriage, your family, your individual life. If you're a leader, you need that faith. Or how could you possibly help your country to have peace? The way of peace, man doesn't know. Abraham knew that. And knew even if God tells you to sacrifice your own son, well, you do it. But then God stopped him because it wasn't necessary. He wanted to test his faith since he was a type of the Son of God. Now, he's not going to test many people at all. How many people have been tested like that in the Bible? Well, I think Abraham is unique in that. And we have to be very careful about how we obey God, and God isn't going to be asking that of people today. But he did ask it of Abraham because he called Abraham to fulfill such a high office and direct the whole world in how to walk by faith. So you can see he's going to be here directing the world in that way very shortly. I'm telling you, it's coming. And he was already trained for the job. That's the problem today. People, well, they talk about the Bible, but they don't believe it. They talk about God, but they don't believe God the way Abraham did. They don't believe the Bible the way Abraham did. And look at the world we live in. Look at the problems we have. Something is desperately wrong with mankind. Even a fool should be able to see that. How are we going to solve those problems? Well, we ought to be people living in hope, but we're not. That's just not the real world. Now, the Iranian leader had spoken before Mr. Netanyahu at the United Nations, and he had said, well, they're really not developing nuclear weapons. And I think everybody there knew that he wasn't telling the truth. And here's what Mr. Netanyahu said about that. He said, Rouhani, the Iranian leader, the new political leader, anyhow, was also Iran's chief nuclear negotiator between 2003 and 2005. He masterminded the strategy which enabled Iran to advance its nuclear weapons program behind a smokescreen of diplomatic engagement and very soothing rhetoric. Now, this is what he did. This is what he did just a few years ago. And he also said, this Rouhani did, that Iran has never chosen deceit and secrecy, never chosen deceit and secrecy. He repeated it. And then he listed all of the examples where they have and done that as a way of life. But they can go before people who are, well, I guess weak and want to believe them and say, oh, Iran has never chosen deceit and secrecy. Why, they deceived were secretive toward the United Nations investigators for over two decades. And they have all this vast natural energy and oil, and they're spending billions to develop nuclear energy. Now, why would they do that? Notice this quote from Mr. Netanyahu. And why would a country with a peaceful nuclear program develop intercontinental ballistic missiles whose sole purpose is to deliver nuclear warheads? Their sole purpose is to deliver nuclear warheads. Wow, these intercontinental ballistic missiles. You don't build ICBMs, that's what they are, to carry TNT thousands of miles away. You build them for one purpose, to carry nuclear warheads. And Iran is building now ICBMs, International Continental Ballistic Missiles, to reach all over the world, that the United States says could he reach this city in 3 or 4 years, New York City. That's what they're doing, building those missiles to reach New York City and American cities with nuclear warheads. And they're not developing the nuclear bomb? Could anybody really believe that? I don't see how they could very easily believe that at all, unless they're extremely weak. But look, the point is that almost all authorities, if you ask them, believe Iran is about to develop the nuclear bomb. They're almost there already. And here is what terrifies many nations, even especially, I guess, in the Middle East, but not only there, is Iran is absolutely, totally the number one terrorist-sponsoring nation in the world. And they do that without nuclear weapons. What are they going to do with nuclear weapons? The world ought to want to answer that question, because everything is at stake. Everything physically. This is a terrifying world that you and I live in. This, just imagine the Middle East with this man in charge. And Iran is, in biblical prophecy, the king of the south. And Iran is going to trigger World War III. So says Bible prophecy. It's right there in your Bible. And here's Mr. Netanyahu quoted Rouhani, the leader of Iran, and said in his 2011 book, He even brags about his time as Iran's chief nuclear negotiator, and I quote, "While we were talking to the Europeans in Tehran, we were installing equipment in Isfahan." Now, Isfahan is an indispensable part of Iran's nuclear program. It's big part of it is right there. And then he quoted him again, "By creating calm," this is Rouhani, "by creating a calm environment, we were able to complete the work in Isfahan." He's getting up and boasting in his book before the world that they deceived the whole world, and because they were secret about that. And then he gets up before the United Nations now and says, "Why, Iran has never lived by the lawlessness of deceit and secrecy." I mean, this is all, I mean, it's not funny, but if it weren't so serious, it would be. It's just a big joke, isn't it? Isn't there a joke there? And God says at the same time, there would be nations of Israel who would have a broken will because of their sins. Leviticus 26 and verse 19, it is prophesied to be that way in this end time. Our book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, shows you that. Exactly as God says. But who believes like Abraham? Who believes like Amos? He goes on here, one critical quote I'll give you. "Yet as dangerous as a nuclear-armed North Korea is," this is Netanyahu again, "it pales in comparison to the danger of a nuclear-armed Iran." Now, North Korea is ruled by a madman, let's call him what he is, and he has nuclear bombs. But notice what Netanyahu says here. "A nuclear-armed Iran would have a chokehold on the world's main energy supplies. It would trigger nuclear proliferation throughout the Middle East, turning the most unstable part of the planet into a nuclear tinderbox. And for the first time in history, it would make the specter of nuclear terrorism," for the first time in history, "would make the specter of nuclear terrorism a clear and present danger. A nuclear-armed Iran in the Middle East wouldn't be another North Korea. It would be another 50 North Koreas." Now, what did he mean by that? 50 North Koreas. 50 times worse. I mean, this is fulfilled prophecy that we've been talking about for over 70 years. And it's just screaming for us to take note of what God says and what Abraham believed and what Amos believed. When are we going to listen to those men who had solutions and believe them and believe God who sent them? It equals 50 North Koreas, Mr. Netanyahu said, Iran with nuclear weapons, this number one sponsor of terrorism in the world, and they just recently attempted to assassinate the Saudi ambassador inside the U.S. just recently, a little over a year ago, I believe. And they did that, and they were caught red-handed. Nothing was done, though. But they did that without nuclear weapons. What are they going to do when they have nuclear devices and nuclear bombs and are the number one sponsor of terrorism around the world, in the world? Yeah, I'd say they're equal 50 North Koreas, and it's just like Jesus Christ said, there would be no flesh saved alive if Jesus Christ didn't intervene and stop it. I'm telling you, we are at that period in our history. We're living it. We're living prophecy that is being fulfilled before our eyes. Mr. Netanyahu said, in our time, the biblical prophecies are being realized. And he should have quoted from Amos 9 and verse 13 through 15. He should have quoted that because there it does exactly say what he said, but it also talks about a captivity and a nuclear holocaust just before, immediately before the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he used scriptures, Amos used scriptures like dead bodies in every place. Read that in Amos 8, verses 1 through 5. And Amos 3 and verse 12 talks about their Israel having two legs or a piece of an ear left. And he wasn't talking about animals. He was talking about human beings and nuclear weapons. And they all kinds of scenes that you need to read about in that booklet that we have on Amos. It's absolutely essential that you understand it's talking about nuclear warfare in, I would say, about 10 scriptures just in the booklet or book of Amos alone. And we point that out in our booklet. This is something that we need to look at. Nothing is more scary than this. Now, Amos ended up getting killed according to tradition. Getting killed. But let me tell you, he had the way of peace. And soon he's going to be resurrected along with Abraham. And he's going to bring peace to this world. And that's the most wonderful news you could hear. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
For more information on today's program, request our two free booklets, What is Faith? And The Lion Has Roared. While many nations trace their heritage back to Abraham, none follow the great example of faith in God that Abraham lived by. Because of this lack of faith, the world is full of violence, wars, and the threat of nuclear attacks. The prophet Amos saw how bad things would become just before Christ returns. Read our free booklet, The Lion Has Roared, to get an in-depth understanding of what is about to befall the faithless nations of Israel. But while the nations are faithless, you can live your life according to faith in God and His Word. To learn more about the wonderful blessing of living by faith, request and read our free booklet, What is Faith? You'll also be sent a free subscription to our news magazine, The Philadelphia Trumpet. The Trumpet will continue to give you in-depth, Bible-based analysis of today's most relevant headlines. A one-year subscription is free upon request. This month's issue features Gerald Fleury's article, The Most Shameful Phone Call in American History. Please also visit us online at thetrumpet.com for daily articles, videos, and headlines. Your free subscription to the Trumpet magazine, along with today's free booklets, are waiting for you. Please call our operators now to request today's free literature. To request the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. Again, that's 1-800-339-7629.